So welcome to another episode. It's a short episode today. It's a Sunday ADHD Women's Wellbeing Wisdom episode. And today you're going to hear from my very first ever guest. Her name is Nancy Levin, and she is the self-proclaimed boundary queen. Her compassionate yet no-nonsense approach will have you want to dissect your own life and enforce some stronger boundaries so you can feel more in control, calmer, and more peaceful about the way you live. Here's a short snippet of the fantastic Nancy, where we talk about burnout and people pleasing. We also talk about what skewed boundaries look like, our self-esteem and our self-worth, overgiving, overachieving, being a perfectionist. There's so much in this conversation. Now, if you do want to listen to the full episode, I really highly recommend it, because Nancy is just full of quotes and insights and just things that you just want to kind of like burn into your brain. And she was my first ever guest. You can go right back to the beginning of this podcast and listen to the full conversation. But for now, here is the short episode. Enjoy it.
Believe it or not, boundaries prevent burnout. So having healthy boundaries in place will actually energize and resource you instead of drain you. And also, you know, so you mentioned that by Sunday, you're good for nothing, you're snippy, you're snapping. Resentment rising is a number one telltale sign that boundaries need to be put into place. So one thing I want to name here is that most of us have a relationship to boundaries where we think that they are restrictive or depriving or constrictive. And I really want to invite you and everyone listening to shift into the understanding that boundaries are actually expansive. So boundaries are the way that we are able to carefully choose and consciously curate the content of our own lives. So in that way, we are crafting the life that we want to live from what's true for us, instead of packaging ourselves to be digestible to everyone else. Especially if you've got kids and young kids who are dependent on you. That's the nature of the beast, right? But it doesn't mean that it's an either or. So it doesn't mean that either you take good care of yourself or you take good care of your kids. And this is probably the number one thing that I work with moms around, because I want to support you in giving yourself permission to consider your own needs at least as much as you are considering the needs of others. Just at least as much, if we can start there as a baseline. Then, are you willing to consider your own needs even more than you're considering the needs of everyone else? And then the real boundary ninja move is, are you willing to give yourself permission to consider your needs first before you consider the needs of others? Now, nowhere in here did I say don't consider the needs of others, but we're so wired for either or. And this is a both and. And you are not going to be as effective, and you're not going to be as loving to the people around you if you are putting yourself at the bottom of the barrel, if you're even in the barrel at all. I started sort of talking about this metaphor that then clients would say, oh no, that's not a metaphor, that's my reality. We set the table in the dining room with the fine lace cloth and the china and the silver and the crystal and the big juicy steak or the big juicy tofu, and we make sure everyone has what they need. And then we stand in the kitchen in the dark over the sink eating the scraps and crumbs. And we think that's okay. We think that there's some badge of honor that we will receive for self-sacrifice. And I'm here to say that is BS.
Yeah. I mean, that analogy immediately came to mind. I've got a relative who has done that, exactly that. And there is a level of sort of feeling a little bit like a martyr. And I think, I don't know how she would get out of that now. I don't know. And I've watched that and I've seen it and I thought, I don't want to be like that. I want to be the person that is, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to enjoy it. And I've learned now what I can, what my limits are. I really have. And from someone that gets easily overwhelmed, you know, it's funny, I've got four kids, I've got a really busy house, I'm working, I put a huge amount on my plate. You know, I'm just a typical overachiever, trying to do everything. I love being busy and creative and ambitious and all of that. But I can, it's like a switch. And all of a sudden it's like overwhelm. I've taken on too much. What am I going to do? How am I going to get rid of things? And so now it's almost like I take a few steps ahead and I say, I try not to say yes immediately. I know that's one of your tricks, isn't
it? Yes.
And that's a new, that's a relatively new one. And that has been amazing.
Good.
Because I would typically just go, yeah, of course I'll do that.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, that overwhelm can be alleviated by taking action so that we're not stuck in our head, so that we're not frozen in time, but that we take a micro action in any direction. That's going to support us in actually stopping the overwhelm and feeling some forward movement. And in terms of saying yes, this is so huge for so many. And, you know, I talk often about the knee-jerk yes. A direct request comes in and we go into the knee-jerk yes. And the knee-jerk yes comes from a place of obligation or feeling responsible. A knee-jerk yes comes from not wanting anyone else to be angry or disappointed. A knee-jerk yes comes from wanting to be the hero, the rescuer, the savior. And in my book, any yes that we give needs to be rooted in desire. So if it's not rooted in desire, it's a no. So I will often suggest to my clients, if a direct request comes in and you're ready to say no, say no. If you're not ready to say no, simply say, I'll get back to you tomorrow.
We it's have so empowering to, that, isn't it?
It is. We have to build in the pause and we have to get out of the mindset that someone else's urgency is ours. So we need time and we really need the pause to dissolve the habit of the knee-jerk yes so that we are really considering what works for us. Because as you just said, we all know what it's like to put something on the calendar and then look at it and dread it and think, how do I get out of this? And we just said yes 2 minutes ago. So all of that can get fixed, so to speak, by really checking in with, is this really a yes for me? What's driving my yes?
I think to have that constant reminder, and like you say, I think it is probably one of those things that's a bit of a muscle, and the more you practice it, the easier it gets. Yeah. And just to have that constant, like, okay, that check-in before you say yes, that I can pause and their urgency isn't our urgency. Because I think we get so skewed in everyone, especially with emails or please get back to me ASAP or can you let me know because I'm on a, you know, it's time sensitive. All these different ways that it's just kind of naturally plugged into our language that everything is just so fast paced now that our decisions are meant to be fast paced, aren't they?
Which really loops into how we are managing the perception of others. So what happens is, I mean, I literally, when I was in my job at Hay House that you mentioned, I was like famous for replying to an email before the other person even hit send. I mean, I was that fast, you know? And part of that was I wanted other people to see me a certain way. And being able to dismantle certain aspects of that perception has been really essential for me. So we have to also look at, you know, what is the persona I'm putting forward? I was really putting this persona forward of perfectionism, of, you know, queen of the impossible. I can do anything. And again, gave people very specific lenses to see me through because I wanted to be seen a certain way. And yet I wasn't living inside of myself. I wasn't inhabiting my own life in that regard. And so that's really what starts to happen is when we're so concerned with the external, you know, I was chasing all the gold stars, all the external validation. And when we're chasing the gold stars, no gold stars will ever be enough. Because whatever we're seeking internally has to be resolved there, not externally. Yeah. So, you know, so it really becomes an invitation to take ourselves into account in a new way.
Yeah. I mean, I really can resonate. And I know there's a lot of ADHD women who are chronic overachievers, perfectionists. Like, there's so many academics out there that have really debilitating ADHD, but they have suppressed it, they mask it. So on the outside, everything looks fine, but on the inside, they're crumbling. Their nervous system is shot to pieces.
Yes.
They are juggling everything and they're sort of just about to be on the brink of something quite catastrophic, which often leads them to seeking medication and then maybe then finding out that, you know, their diagnosis. And what I know for me, and I've always known this, is that I've always needed a huge amount of downtime. So I love being busy, busy, busy. I get to a point, I'm like, if I don't go and have a walk on my own, or I don't just kind of don't speak to anyone for a couple of hours, then, you know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be bad.
Right.
So I have had to build in those boundaries, whether it's looking at my calendar. I have buffers between meetings. I have buffers between if I meet a friend and going straight into a meeting. And these are all things that I've learned relatively recently, because I thought it was normal to be on this, like, constant, this juggernaut of feeling frenzied and frazzled and overwhelmed.
And part of it is also, what are you making that mean about you? If you're keeping yourself so busy, is that how you are defining your success? Are you determining your own worth and value by how busy you are, by how much you do, by how much you achieve, by how much you produce? And that is very common for those of us who have identified as overachievers and people pleasers and perfectionists. And a couple of things to remember, you know, one is that when we are fearing that external judgment, so we're doing things to not get judged, so to speak, and we're in that overcompensation, which is also something that I see in this conversation. What's happening is we're already judging ourselves, whether it's I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not worthy enough, I'm not whatever it is, you know, we're already judging ourselves because no judgment from the outside can stick to us unless we have the Velcro for it. So any judgment we're fearing from the outside already lives within us. And so we are capable of dissolving that internal judgment, of getting in right relationship with ourselves. And once we do that, we lose concern for the outside in that regard.
It really is an inside job, isn't it?
It is an inside job the whole way. And then the other piece about the overcompensation, I, in my work, talk a lot about disowned qualities. So the qualities in ourselves that we don't want to be, that we don't want. And yet the truth is, we in every quality lives within us. So even if we look at ADHD as a quality that we don't want to be, let's say, or that we don't want to stay identified with, what happens is we go into overdrive to overcompensate for having ADHD. And the real key is to see, how can I embrace the ADHD and the gifts it provides?
Absolutely. And it takes a bit of time to get to that headspace because very often, especially if you've not been diagnosed until later on in life, and that's typically, you know, who I seem to be working with, a lot of women and mothers, you know, in the sort of 40s, who are 50s, who are finding out that the reason that they've had anxiety and overwhelm and insomnia and all the different things throughout their life, they've always resonated with being sort of highly sensitive and empath, that they have now got ADHD. And to them, that's got negative connotations, a stigma, because they may have been on the surface, they could have looked fine, but underneath, it's that analogy of your head above water and everything's fine. Underneath, you're like flailing like a duck that just doesn't know what, how to manage life and organize. And we've got to rely on people. Maybe it's partners or parents, or we've had to delegate. We've had to pay for huge amounts of assistance.
We've had to ask for help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in a way, that's fantastic, because so many of us should be asking for help and we should be delegating. We can't do it all.
That's great.
But it also kind of makes you feel like, well, what kind of adult am I that I still have to, get my husband to do this or my friend to do that or an assistant or a cleaner or all these different things, where now I've made peace with it, but it took me a really long time to realize that I can't do everything and I don't need to do everything.
Right. And to be able to be in acceptance of, this is my reality. This is what's true. And the more I fight it, the more I'm wearing myself out. And the more I'm willing to embrace it, the more I'm creating my own freedom.
So I hope you enjoyed listening to this shorter episode of the ADHD Women's Wellbeing podcast. I've called it the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Wisdom because I believe there's so much wisdom in the guests that I have on and their insights. So sometimes we just need that little bit of a reminder, and I hope that has helped you today, and look forward to seeing you back on the brand new episode on Thursday. Have a good rest of your week.